Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
What cartoons your kids watching right now, Jay?
We're still in that Daniel the Tiger, kind of like that kind of mode.
So they're not
Cocomelo.
So tired of the damn Cocomelo.
Wild Bats.
There's only so many times
I
listen
to watch.
Get off the bus or get on the bus and whatever.
What?
Cocomelo.
Oh, yeah.
What's the bus song? When you get on the bus, get off the bus.
I forgot the name.
Me too. I'd have forgot. You don't know it, Max. It's been years.
Mm-mm.
What's the get on the bus? It's the, not get on the bus, the movie with Spike Lee, but with the kids, it's like, oh, God, I can't think of it. It's Cocomelo, though. They give you all
that
the nursery rhymes.
We're still in Sesame Street.
Nursery rhymes.
You know,
sometimes Doc McStuffins.
Yeah, they like that
Doc
for a minute.
Doc McStuffins, yeah.
You know, sometimes you see a show and you know why your kid is into it. And sometimes you see a show and you're like, what do you like about this?
No Dora Explorer?
Dora the Explorer.
They watch Teen Titans Go. I see why they like it. It's a good show.
Don't let them watch SpongeBob, though. He's bad.
No, you know what? You know what my littlest one is into now? I can't understand the appeal. Pokemon cartoon.
Hopefully none of this is Disney, but...
What is?
I said, hopefully none of this is Disney.
Yeah, right. If it's Disney, never mind.
Yeah, it's great. Hey Arnold, any of that? Hey Arnold's good.
Hey Arnold.
No. Yeah, Hey Arnold's good.
What are the cartoons you watched when you were a kid? What was the big one?
Well, I mean, come on. You got the Super Friends, Tom and Jerry, little badasses.
Bugs Bunny. Woody Woodpecker.
Heckling Jekyll.
Huckleberry
Hound.
What about those Hanna-Barbera cartoons with the Rock Monster and all those guys?
Yeah. How about Transformers, G.I. Joe?
Nah,
that was a little later on.
Yeah, that was a little. But I didn't mess with that.
That's me. That was me.
He-Man was like
but
He-Man,
did you watch,
G.I. Joe, yeah.
Did you watch?
Right?
Key, did you watch G-Force? Do you remember G-Force?
Yeah, but I didn't watch it.
Okay, so there was before there was Transformers or Voltron or anything.
Yep.
That came a little later. First, there were these Japanime cartoons called G-Force, and there's like Battleship Planet and stuff like that were so fresh, but they didn't get popular like Voltron and them.
Mark Davis, the owner of the Las Vegas Raiders, he got a
Keyshawn
He-Man haircut.
Keyshawn J. Willimax, ESPN Radio.
You know what He-Man haircut looked like?
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
If you put Mark Davis side by side.
With He-Man,
you go same
haircut?
Barber. Same barber. Yeah. 100% same barber.
So here's the question.
Dumb and Dumber. He got the haircut from Dumb and Dumber.
From Dumb and Dumber. It's true.
He-Man.
I brought it up earlier in the show here on Keyshawn J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80.
He'll never be on this show.
Never. Mark Davis never coming on this show.
No.
Never, right? Keyshawn said you got a He-Man haircut. What do you think about that?
So we're presented by Progressive Insurance. Here's what, you know, when we talked about overlooked quarterbacks or players who have bounce back seasons, I keep bringing up Patrick Mahomes, which sounds funny. But, you know, sometimes when someone's achieving at a very high level, it can kind of all look the same. I used to talk about this in LA radio, guys, like when Kobe was still scoring a lot, but I try to tell people, wait, this is Kobe like on a Carmelo level, which is extremely high. Are people forgetting what it looked like? He's past his prime. Remember what it looked like 5-6 years ago when he looked like Michael Jordan? Right? Just because he's still really, really, really good does not mean he's still in his prime. Mahomes should be entering his prime pretty soon. But just because he looked really, really good last year, it's still lowest, like most interceptions he's ever thrown by a lot, like since his rookie season, or his real rookie season, when he's through 50 touchdowns, right? He had doubled his interceptions from the year before. Lowest QBR, still top five, but not one or two like it normally is. Yeah, he made it to the AFC Championship game and they hosted it, but he didn't ball out in it. So here's the question. Could Mahomes become an even better quarterback without Tyreek Hill in this season, 2022, Key?
Yeah, I think he can because he'll do it differently. Meaning that he won't lock on to Kelce or Hill. He'll have to spread the ball around to Juju in MVS, in who else did they? Somebody else that they signed, and whoever's on the other roster receivers. He'll be able to get the ball to different guys, Mecole Hardman, in different spots. Ronald Jones out of the backfield. And it'll look different, but it'll create the same results. He'll have same touchdowns. He'll have the same sort of chunk yardage.
39 TDs, 8 interceptions.
It'll just look different to you. Instead of this Tyreek Hill out the back door on the dig route, turn the corner, it'll be methodically moving the ball down the field.
I mean, they just have so many weapons, right? They have so many knowns. It almost, It's similar a little bit, I guess, to Aaron Rodgers, even though Aaron Rodgers is losing Devontae Adams, right? Like, you still have Sammy Watkins. You still have Randall Cobb, who he trusts is kind of like his blanket to a degree, his blankie, right? Like, so I think for Patrick Mahomes, it'll look different, but the results, the numbers will still be the same.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm not worried. You know, a lot of people, you talk about Aaron Rodgers, you talk about Patrick Mahomes, you talk about anybody, Deshaun Watson when he was with the Houston Texans and lost DeAndre Hopkins, it's going to look different if you don't have a plan. And I think when you talk about Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid and company, they have a plan in place. If you go back to Andy Reid,
do they need a number one receiver, Key? Do they need it, or is it a luxury, or would it make them better?
Well,
they have
number one receiver in Travis Kelce.
Right. I mean, at the receiver position. He's the guy who keeps the chains moving.
No, if you go back to Andy Reid's tenure with the Philadelphia Eagles, outside of Macklin that he had for a short period of time, which eventually was forced into a one spot, not a true one,
right?
But forced into it. They gave him opportunities. He wasn't a red dot guy. The defense is winning. So we got to stop Macklin. Only guy he ever had was Terrell Owens for 1 year.
You know what's funny? Brady,
and he did wonders with Todd Pinkston.
Brady never really had a real number one till he got Randy Moss. But my Lord, when he got Randy Moss, now they didn't win the Super Bowl that year, but they broke every record. They went undefeated until then.
It was a different explosive type game where Brady game wasn't explosive. It was dink and dunk. It was Edelman and Welker types. It was Hernandez. It was Gronkowski. It was the backside of the backfield.
So this is Mahomes doing the opposite, going from a guy who could score for any time he touched the ball to now having to become more of the, I'm going to distribute it, keep the chains moving, not take the shots down the field as much.
Yeah, but if you look at Tyreek Hill did not have eye-popping numbers.
Yeah, it's true. But Tyreek Hill knew what could happen.
Tyreek Hill is a 70 catch, 1,100 yard, 7 touchdown guy, I think. I think that's
but you know what it was,
look it
okay.
up, Max. I think
yeah,
that's
it was
about,
also, it was a
in his career, I think that's about right.
It was a threat of the yards after the catch.
No,
right?
It was just a threat of him in general. Like, though.
Yeah, anywhere on the field.
Oh, yeah,
he would just break that thing
it's
open.
It's just like in basketball, Jay, if you don't close on Ray Allen, he's going to knock that three down on you. I don't give a damn what you say. Mm-hmm. That's what Tyreek Hill is like. He's just like, if we don't do something with him, we got to pay attention to him at all times.
Yeah.
And even when you were paying attention to him, he was still able to capitalize and do things that made you go, wow.
Okay, well, more or less you were right, Key. A little more with the touchdowns.
Was I?
So, was he? Yeah, a little more with the touchdowns.
Well, so, I said 7. What was he?
Yeah, well, he did 7 and almost 1,200 yards in 17.
Okay.
Then he had, in by the way, 13 starts. In 16 starts in 18, he did almost 1,500 yards and 12 touchdowns. And then
his big number was in 2018.
Well, except that in 2020, he had 15 starts, almost 1,300 yards, 15 TDs. Last year, in a full season, a little over 1,200 yards, 9 TDs. Yeah. But more or less still the same. More or less the same.
Yeah, I didn't realize he had 15 touchdowns. But all I'm saying is he's not a because of his style, you would think he's like an 1,800 yard receiver,
yeah.
Right? Because he just, when he touches it, it's crazy production. They're going to miss that.
But he's a little bit like
explosive.
He's a little bit like Deion Sanders on the offensive side in that Deion's numbers would never tell you the whole story because they didn't throw to him. That's the real number.
He didn't throw his way.
Tyreek, the threat of him and what he can do on the field, you can't account for. Even if you do account for it, good luck.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if you still get that same threat in Miami that you got in Kansas City based on how they deploy him in their offense.
How about, but from the flip side, Mahomes. Does Marquez Valdez-Scantling do, because he can take the lid off the defense, which is not just what Tyreek Hill did, but can they piece together the Hill effect with MVS?
Nah, it won't. It'll be the effect in certain stuff. Like, okay, so for instance, he'll lift the coverage, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when Tyreek Hill would go lift the coverage, Patrick Mahomes would throw to him.
Yeah.
MVS going to lift the coverage, and Juju Smith going to come underneath. He'll catch it. He'll get 15.
I wonder if it could
then
make him
he'll
better.
Lift the coverage again. He'll throw it to Kelce. Kelce will get 20. Then he'll lift the coverage, and he'll dink and dunk it to Ronald Jones, and then they'll be at the goal line punching in.
If the goal is to win the Super Bowl, even if the defense isn't I don't know, when people say, well, is it going to look better? Does it need to be better or be worse? I mean, if it equates to winning a Super Bowl, does that mean it's better?
If they win it?
If they win it? Like, so, like, what do you,
this is what I say.
I confused when people say, well, the offense is going to be better without Tyreek Hill. It's like, if it leads
but
to them winning a Super Bowl.
But now people aren't looking at it leading to them winning a Super Bowl. What people do is they're looking at the numbers.
I know, I hear that.
They're looking at 50 touchdowns and 9 interceptions and da da da.
But, like, my point is, if this team finds a way to win multiple championships,
that's the goal, right?
The offense may come back a little bit, but it may make players better, right? It's part of a bigger package.
I would think that Mahomes is going for over 40 touchdowns, single-digit interceptions, but I think they get stopped by Lamar in the playoffs. So that would be my prediction.
Let me see if I can simplify the answer to what your question is, Jay. When Tony Dungy got fired and John Gruden came, people thought the offense was going to be, oh, my God, John Gruden, smartest guy in the book. Oh, quarterback, the whole pencil in the ear, the whole deal. Our offense was better the year that Dungy got fired than the year we won the Super Bowl.
Overall, your defense was also better.
But the defense was better, and we hit with the right matchups.
That's what I'm saying.
In the playoffs, we got Philly.
The defense was just peaking, too.
Yeah, but we got Philly. We had the Niners and Philly Super Bowl.
Oh, Raiders.
So everything worked out the way it was supposed to work out for us. You look at that and you say, well, the offense was sure better. No, the offense hit at the right time.
Download the ESPN Fantasy app, the most popular fantasy sports app. It makes playing ESPN Fantasy Football easy, fun, and fast. Updates to gameplay on ESPN Fantasy app include updates. Yes, to gameplay on the ESPN Fantasy app, and they include new scoring and league management tools with more new features and updates on the way throughout the season. Sign up at ESPN.com/FFL or download the ESPN Fantasy app.
Now, time for another Camp Confidential on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Lindsay Theory, ESPN Chargers reporter, with us for another Camp Confidential. Good morning, Lindsay.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Fight on for OSC. Fight on to victory. How you doing, Lindsay?
Good, Key. How are you?
Good. I hadn't heard from you in quite some time.
Well, you know, I'm not covering those Trojans anymore, so you've kind of stopped talking to me.
No, I know. Wow. Now you're on the Chargers beat now.
So, speaking of how it's going, how's it going for Justin Herbert in camp so far this year? Something tells me that kid's going to be a pretty good one.
Yeah, you know what? He does look like he's going to have a pretty good season. This is obviously my first time really getting a chance to watch Justin Herbert day in and day out. And he is impressive. You know, he has a greater command of the offense this year. Talking to his offensive linemen, Justin's just a little bit more in tune with protections, what they need to do, what he's seeing in a defense. But really, I mean, when this young man throws a football, it has been a thing of beauty. The way he's placing the ball where only his receivers can catch it. I'm obviously going to Keenan Allen and Mike Williams a lot in practice. It has really been something to watch.
Lindsay, why do I feel like this is getting ready to be a major letdown for the Chargers? Why do I feel that way?
I don't know. I can't tell you why you feel that way. You know, history doesn't really bode well for them. Maybe that's it. It seems like a lot of times in the past they've had a really solid roster. They just haven't been able to do it. You know, this year they had eight, nine guys that be considered, you know, probably among the top 100 in the NFL. And this should be a year when they not only go to the playoffs, but get to the AFC Championship. Though, when you look at what happened in their division over the offseason, like, it is daunting what they're going to have to go through between Kansas City, Russell Wilson in Denver, and then the Derek Carr, Davante Adams connection in Las Vegas. So it's not going to be easy, but they put a roster together that hopefully doesn't disappoint.
See, you just gave me my answer. The division, all the stuff that they did in the offseason, and on top of that, they've got a head coach that I feel, based on the roster, everything that they have, should be contending for a Super Bowl, but they got a head coach that lost about four games with in-game decisions in Brandon Staley that's somewhat, in my opinion, might be looking over his shoulder with a guy like Sean Payton lurking in the area. Is that the case where he's going to be feeling a certain way?
No, I don't think that he's looking over his shoulder. I think what Brandon Staley does not fail for is confidence, whether that's confidence in his decision, confidence in his quarterback, or just his team in general to get it done. You know, he's definitely come into the Chargers and has wanted to shift the culture. You know, he doesn't want it to be the same old Chargers. And yet, you know, they did lose some games down the stretch, especially. As I've described, those play calls are not for the faint of heart, deciding to go for it in some of those situations. They also had a defense last year that could not stop anyone. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see how much an improved defense this year will factor into his play calling, because now if you feel like you can actually go out there and get a stop, maybe you don't have to go for it on fourth and forever.
Lindsay, let's talk about that defense. How much do you believe that Khalil Mack will have a bounce back year for the Chargers?
I definitely think he will. You know, he's playing on the opposite of Joey Bosa, and Khalil Mack is nothing if not determined as he's been training camp. I mean, I think he's got a chip on his shoulder. I think he wants to prove that he's obviously still one of the top pass rushers in the NFL. You know, Joey Bosa has told me that they've had to kind of hold him back a little bit and be like, yo, man, it's a long season. Make sure everything's going great, because you don't have to come out here 110% right now at this point in camp. But I do think that he's primed for a bounce back season, especially because of who he has opposite of him. And if you're an offensive line, you can't block everybody all the time.
Lindsay Theory, ESPN Chargers reporter, also cheating on the USC Trojans by covering the Chargers, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Lindsay, is Justin where do you rank Justin Herbert in the AFC West quarterback hierarchy?
That's really tough. Why would you make me do this? I mean, look, I think deservedly right now, based on record, based on what other guys have accomplished, he has to be number three. I mean, Patrick Mahomes and Russell Wilson have both won Super Bowls, so I don't think it would be right to put Justin right now in his career above them. He hasn't even made the playoffs. But, you know, I think he definitely is ascending as an individual. He has great talent. There's a really good argument to be made. I'm sure you guys can make it, whether or not wins are a quarterback stat. But I think right now he's probably the third best in the division just based off his records.
I'd put him second, but what do you think?
Max.
By the way, not only would I put him second, I think clearly second.
You're putting second, Lindsay. Let me ask you
this. Clearly second. Like nipping at Mahomes' heels second.
So what if he doesn't make the playoffs this year? For the third straight year, he doesn't make the playoffs. Then what?
Well, then that's a whole thing.
Well, they still give him an extension. He's their quarterback another year.
No, of course you're going to give him an extension. I'd give him an extension and then some of the stadium profits. Of course. Right. I'm just thinking if he
special,
doesn't.
Man.
Yeah, he's a man. He's
See, how would you explain his success, especially on third and fourth downs? He got a start. You know, his rookie season, didn't even know he was going to start. He has been lights out elite since he started. He got even better his second year, which they thought there'd be some regression because he had to be lucky, right, his first year. But especially on third and fourth downs, what accounts for it?
He's incredible. I mean, he's a great decision maker. I mean, he just takes great care of the football. It's like kind of the mystery of Justin Herbert. You know, what accounts for it? He has some weapons around him, but really he is a difference maker. And I'm working on something. I can't quite tell you what it is because it's really hard to pin down exactly what has made Justin Herbert, you know, elevate his game, what's been part of the transition, obviously, from Oregon to have him being so good so early in his career. And like you said, like, the second year regression just didn't happen, and to be honest, I don't think there's going to be a third season. I don't think the defense is going to be able to keep up with Justin Herbert. He has all the physical tools. I sound like a scout off Moneyball right now. He just has the intangible.
Lindsay, if say that hypothetical situation happens that Keyshawn mentioned, that they don't make the playoffs, Will Brandon Staley be the head coach of the Chargers next year?
Yeah, something's going to have to change if they don't make the playoffs. And, you know, whether that's Brandon Staley, whether that's Tom Telesco. Tom Telesco, that would be, he'd be on to his third head coach after Anthony Lynn and Brandon Staley. You know, whether that's Brandon Staley, if it's a play call that, you know, comes down to another game time decision or game ending decision, I should say. You know, maybe they look and they say, we just can't live or we can't play like this. But I think there would have to be some definite changes because this is a team that hasn't been to the playoffs since 2018 and they need to get there. And with this roster, there's no excuse to not get there.
Do you think they finally, real quick, Lindsay, do you think they finally will have a home field advantage? Because we know they've struggled with that in the past.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really hard. They opened the season in L.A. against the Raiders. You can't discount that the Raiders are still an incredibly popular team in Los Angeles. And so week one, it's probably going to be the same storyline of, oh, the Chargers still don't have a home in L.A., but, you know, it is a unique situation against the Raiders. I do think that base is growing. I've been at training camp every day. The stands have been full. There are a lot of people who are excited about the Chargers. There are so many kids who are excited about Justin. So I think the fan base is growing. Do I think it's going to be a home field advantage? Some weeks it will be. Some weeks I would expect that there's going to be a lot of people coming from some cold cities to watch their team and enjoy L.A.
Thank you, Lindsay Theory. That's ESPN Chargers reporter Lindsay Theory with the Camp Confidential on the Los Angeles Chargers. Thanks, Lindsay.
Thank
you. Go dogs!
I'll tell you what, guys, about the Chargers, it's kind of, for the first time in a long time, win-win for the fans. Either they're going to have a big season, and they're poised to do so with a great young ascending quarterback, or they're not going to have a great season, or they don't make the playoffs, and then they get Sean Payton probably going forward. Now they have Sean Payton with Justin Herbert.
They go like 8-9.
They probably get Sean Payton, right? Because if they don't make the playoffs, you got to figure they're going to bring him in.
Or try to.
And if I were him,
look at it.
If I were him, I'd be like, yeah, yes, please.
It's a perfect situation for him. Like Lindsay just said, Tom Telesco, who I love, who's the general manager, I think he's done a tremendous job of putting things together. That if he's out, Staley's out, Sean's in, he's controlling like he wants, you know.
Aaron Rodgers, speaking of great quarterbacks, is frustrated with drops and inconsistency by young receivers. So what does this offense look like without Devontae Adams?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. You can listen to KJM on your smart speaker. Just say play ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance and joined now by Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. How you doing?
Well, better than the Jets at this moment, I guess. How should the Jets approach the draft? Let's say they wind up with the number one pick, Mike. Mike T, what do you do?
Oh, you take Bryce Young. And look, we're a million miles away from that, obviously. But if they wind up with the first pick, that means that Zach Wilson didn't work out for whatever reason, and you turn in the card for Bryce Young, and you should have your next, you know, superstar quarterback, because I think Bryce Young is really that special.
But so, Mike T, Key and I were quibbling about that, because that was exactly my point. I said if I were Joe Douglas, even though I made a bet on Zach Wilson, if Zach Wilson didn't pan out this year due to injuries or just his trajectory going the opposite direction, if I have a chance to have a quarterback like a Bryce Young or a C.J. Stroud, if I think they are that, I go for that. I don't double down and then try to keep Zach Wilson just for the sake of my own ego, because I made that bet. I pivot as quickly as possible, right? Adaptivity is what makes people successful.
Completely agree, Jay. Well, you have to be opportunistic. And if you have a sunk cost, which you do in Zach Wilson, it is what it is. You have a chance to upgrade your team. That's what you do. And Bryce Young would be an upgrade over Zach Wilson.
All right. That's where I want to stop right there. Bryce Young, Mike T, you, although you acknowledge guys like, you know, Kyler Murray and their talent and everything, do talk about physical limitations with quarterbacks, although, to be fair, you're usually talking about speed more than height. But in Bryce Young's case, it's actually size. You think he's that much different from Stroud and everybody that he's the presumptive pick for you?
Yeah, it's a fair point, Max. Like, when you look at him, he is not ideal from a size standpoint. I saw him in person a couple times last year. I think he can get stronger. He has very good mobility within the pocket. So I do think if there is a limitation, it will be a size, but I think he has just such tremendous talent that he'll overcome it, much the way guys like Drew Brees has in his career. Like, this guy is an elite passer who has great, to me, processing ability. He can dissect coverages, know where to go with the ball, great placement, great velocity. So I think he has all the tools to be really good.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
See you later, Zach Wilson.
I mean, we'll see. I mean, you're talking about Joe Flacco right now and taking the lead or not. I want to go from one quarterback who's trying to find his way to a quarterback who we know is cemented as one of the greatest to do it. Obviously, we'll see if he can win some more Super Bowls. But what is your reaction to Aaron Rodgers and his critical words about his wide receivers the other day?
Jay, well, you know, he's a calculated guy. So to me, this isn't the first time that he's probably been frustrated with them. The fact that he said publicly was probably a way to, you know, give him a kick in the behind, because if he was happy with their work ethic and their sort of trajectory, I don't think he would have gone public. So I don't think there's anything that Aaron Rodgers does that's by accident. So I'm sure that was coming from a place of frustration more than anything else.
Hold on. That's very interesting. Wait, Mike T, talking to Mike Tannenbaum here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Mike T, you just said if he was happy with their work ethic. In other words, if they were making mistakes and they were just having some drops and stuff like that, that would be one thing. But you're reading into his public criticism as him being dissatisfied with things that they can control, with stuff like work ethic. Am I hearing that right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's a reason he said what he said publicly. If it was just, you know, a drop here or there, that'd be different. I think he was trying to create a sense of urgency, and maybe he was doing that behind the scenes. He wasn't happy with that, and he felt like he had to bring it up a notch.
You know, Mike, it's almost the same thing we were talking about before with Patrick Mahomes losing Tyreek Hill, right? It's similar to Aaron Rodgers losing Devontae Adams. And you look at their wide receiving core for the Packers between Randall Cobb, Alan Lazard, Sammy Watkins. Even though they may not be exactly where he needs them to be, I mean, you talk about you have some veterans. Do you think this is one of those addition by subtraction that it makes the ball being shared by more? It gives more weapons or opportunities to players, and obviously their defense is one of the best there is as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, we could be saying the same thing for Kansas City, Jay Will, which is just throw it to the open guy, right? It could be Aaron Jones out of the backfield. It could be Robert Tonyan. It could be, you know, a whole bunch of different receivers from, you know, Lazard to Christian Robin, Watkins or Romeo Doubs. So I think in some ways they could become more diverse. Obviously not as good without Devontae Adams, and, you know, we'll see how that plays out.
How about the quarterback situation in New York? Obviously, Brian Daboll talking about Tyrod Taylor getting first-team reps. What's that mean for Daniel Jones?
I think that was a rookie mistake by Brian Daboll, which is all he had to do is come out at the beginning of the training camp and say, hey, this is training camp. You're going to see our kicker punt. You're going to see our punter kick. You're going to see Daniel Jones run the ball. You're going to see Tyrod Taylor take some reps with the ones. We got to do what we have to do to get our team ready to go. So, you know, to me, it was it's really a non-story, and I think, you know, this is Brian just sort of like working his way through, you know, dealing with the New York media, which, by the way, as we all know, is undefeated.
That is an interesting take. It's no big deal, but because of a rookie mistake by a promising young head coach making the move from offensive coordinator, it appears to be a deal. That is
Mike
Tannenbaum.
In a span of 3 minutes, Max has said you have had three interesting takes.
He has. What do you think he's doing on this show? Someone's got to be coming with the interesting takes. It's not going to be you, me, or Keith. All right. Thank you, Mike T.
All right, Mike.
All right, guys. Thank you.
We're here for our casual banter. And me for my looks, obviously. Which player do you expect to have the biggest bounce back season in 2022?
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
So earlier in the show, Key was talking about an experience he had with a gang of rats that intimidated him.
Oh, God.
Intimidated him
this morning.
The tails were longer than...
Key took the long way to work, literally. Took the long way to work because the rat gang was out in full force. And he's talking about how in L.A., oh, they're field mice.
Yeah,
let me tell you something about the so-called field mice in L.A. Because New York has a rat problem, but I lived in a fancy part of L.A.,
Elon Musk was your neighbor.
That's true. I had to put out so many rat traps. When I first got there, like, oh, a property this size, bait stations with 8 pieces of poison each, and they can each kill more than one rat. You put them out. Came back 1 month later, all the poison was gone.
Yeah.
So they were like, I was like, you know
They're very tricky.
I was like, you know what? No, in other words, killed probably 100, 200 rats. All right. I was like, okay, you know what? For real.
You're in the mountains.
Hold up. Yeah.
I'm not in the mountains here in New York City.
Wait a minute. I said, you know what? Instead of every week, do it every month. Do it every other week. Came back. All the poison was gone. I said, all right, you know what? Instead of eight, do 16 bait stations, each with eight pieces of poison. Okay. Came back 2 weeks later. All the poison's gone. What? I said, okay, now do it every week. Do it every week. And there's IV everywhere.
All different types.
Came back 1 week later, 16 traps, eight pieces of poison, all the poison gone. I said, okay, now do 32 bait stations, come back every week. And it took like a month of that to get rid of the rats. Now, let me tell you about...
But you're backed up against a damn hill,
yep.
Max.
Well, yep.
How do you know you got rid of... So you were seeing the rats?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, and once the poison's gone, then you come there, you see, oh, the poison's not gone now. See, that means that you got rid of them.
Here's what I'm going to say, though, Jay. It's L.A. Our rats are better than New York rats.
Well, now we're having a competition about
how you figure
rats.
Because ours are small.
Okay, I'm glad. I knew he was going to say that. Hold up.
Here it is. Wait a minute.
Hold on.
Rodents in
this is the end of the story. I had a skunk on the property.
Yeah.
Now, when you have a skunk on the property, it's not like the city's going to take care of you. You got to hire a skunk trapper, right?
There's skunks in the city?
Skunk trapper.
Yeah.
There are skunks in the city?
I'm in.
No, I mean here.
No. Talking about L.A.
Possums here? Raccoons?
Possums, yeah. Oh, yeah. So I hire a skunk trapper to get rid of the skunk. Trap falls, right? I come back from work.
Yeah.
There's a big animal in the cage.
Absolutely.
It's a rat that's so fat, it can't get out of the bars. The rat, no lie, listen. The rat, they put little pieces of chicken in there. The rat was picking up the chicken with its two hands. I'm not eating it, and that tossing the bones out.
And that may be true, Max.
It was like a human-sized rat.
That may be one. Yeah. Just one. But for the most part, the field mice. I could sit out in my backyard and be underneath the lotion and watch the mice just
run. Are we really having a conversation? I'm listening to you defend the rats of California?
Yes.
That's what we're
doing. You haven't seen cute mice till you've seen them in California.
Cute rat. I can't get over this conversation that Key just literally said during our last segment. Our California rats are better than your New York City rats.
No, they're not. Ours aren't rats. Or mice.
No, they're rats.
No, they're not.
Mice are cute.
I had rats.
See, mice
in LA.
Mice. I'm like, oh, no.
Not in my house, on the property.
You thought they were rats, Max.
How many
mice.
Rats did you get? How many rats did you guys kill, Max? 5,000?
I estimated to get rid of all the rats on the property when I moved in. Not in the house, but on the property.
You probably should have got rid of the property.
Like 5,000.
How about that? You got 5,000 rats. You should have just moved out.
How
are
you living next to Elon Musk and have 5,000 rats?
That means he had them, too.
Yeah.
Really?
That means he had them, too. Yeah.
What's the point of living there?
Because
get away from rats.
Yeah, but you're backed up against the mountains, and you got all the different trees and ivies and this and that, and they just come and go.
No, I don't want that.
That's all.
And they get infested, and then if the neighbors don't handle it.
Max was living in a $47 million house.
No, calm down.
You know, he was living in a $47
calm
million
down.
House.
It was a three-bedroom, modest three-bedroom house.
You know, it's just.
Nice property, but not modest three-bedroom house.
Well, I mean, we call it modest if you want to, but yeah. You're in the
so
mountains,
beautiful
you're going to get rodents. That's just...
But all different kinds of rodents, right? I mean, you get all different kinds of animals.
Yeah.
It's just not
and what you like to,
to
do, what you tend to do, is you allow, in the summertime, the field mice will come out, but you allow the rattlesnakes to... You don't kill the rattlesnakes. You allow the rattlesnakes
to go.
To just let them...
Do you live on a ranch? Like, what?
No, you don't live on a... It's in the mountains. It's in the hills. You
can't do the snakes. That's not...
Yeah, but if you see one...
I'm running.
You're going to get rid of it or call somebody to do it, right? Depending on where it's at and how big it is. But for the most part, you catch it and they catch it and throw it back into the mountains.
How do you catch it? Have you ever caught one?
No, I don't. I call
you call the team.
I don't mess around.
I don't know. He said you catch it like he was
Keys
something.
Keys
property. They catch it with the tongue.
Keys chief of staff. Tells the property manager to hire the exterminator, and he takes care of it.
Yeah, well, I don't have a chief of staff, and nor do we hire exterminators. We get the people who manicure our greenery.
He can't even sound
greenery.
He is trying to sound like he's not that bit like he's more modest. And even in doing that, he can't do it. He's like, no, I don't have a chief of staff. We get the people who manicure the grounds.
No, they take care. They
you
make
said greenery,
sure,
not grounds. Greenery.
Yeah, because we have little greenery around flowers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't do it.
Yeah, landscapers. Landscapers.
Yeah, landscapers. Yeah, that's what they would be called. Maintenance landscapers. Yeah. Mm.
All right.
No different than your house or anybody who has a house.
And you do it yourself? You don't have your people do this?
No, I don't do it myself.
I can't do
we have individuals who take care of our neighborhood.
Who are qualified.
Deal with us.
Yeah. I'm calling somebody if I see a snake.
No, the snake is fine. You just call somebody. You're good.
It's not a fine. Snake? Oh, they got snakes up in the hill all over the place. Yeah. Snakes. Yeah. King snakes coiled in little flower pots.
You
got to
be careful. Yeah.
Rattlesnakes.
You got to be careful, especially like in the summertime.
Rattlesnakes, you got to be careful. Yeah.
If you go out to like your barbecue or something like that and you go to open up the bottom to get whatever you need, the wood or whatever you're doing, you got to be careful because they want cool spots. So they roll up like Max saying. Or you go to your garage and let's say, for instance, you're coming in or out of your garage door because you go in at your garage door. They may be sitting right there at your front door, the garage door, mailbox, any of that.
Between snake and y'all got the spider. Y'all got real spiders out there. I'm not.
Yeah, man, you got real spiders too, and scorpions too. A lot of scorpions.
The tarantulas
out there.
They're not
poisonous. No, it was so funny the first time.
He said it so nonchalantly. I don't think
because
I would react.
They're not poisonous. You're okay.
The first time I saw a scorpion out there, I don't know anything about scorpions,
right? Scorpions are not good.
But I didn't know anything about them. The only thing I knew about scorpions is what I saw in the movies. And every time you saw, like, Indiana Jones, one bite from a scorpion can kill you. I didn't know it's just like a stinger. So first time I saw a scorpion, I went and got a wiffle ball bat or something, whatever was handy. I was like, everyone stand back! Like, I made so much of a big deal about it because I thought it was, like, the most deadly thing in the world. And it's just a thing you just whack
Jay,
it.
Jay, I saw one of the biggest tarantulas that you would ever in life, like a museum tarantula. You know
where?
What I mean? On my property. Thing was about big as my hand.
Yeah.
And I didn't see it originally. The kids saw
you get any
it.
Cougars?
Know, they freak out. No cougars. We get mountain lions and deer. Well,
yeah, cougars, mountain lion.
There are a lot of cougars.
You get mountain lions.
Yeah, mountain lions.
See, we had bobcats, but
bobcats
no mountain lions.
Bobcat and mountain lion.
Mountain lions for real, though.
Yeah.
You got to be careful with the mountain lion.
Yeah, but you protect yourself. You pull up, you look, you see, and then you go.
Mm. You protect yourself.
Yeah, you're not just, look, they're more afraid of you than you are of them. Okay, that's just it.
That's not a bet I'd be willing to take. I guarantee I'm more afraid of a cougar than it is of me.
I think Jamie Foxx told that story one time. He was like on an African retreat. He's like, don't worry, the lion is more afraid of you than you are him. And the lion's don't believe his ass.
The lion is different than a bobcat, a mountain lion.
The way Jamie Foxx imitated
the name,
the lion
I'm not
was perfect.
Rocking with it.
It
could be a river lion. I don't care. I'm not messing with it. A lazy lion.
I'm not taking my ass.
Mouse
up
lion.
To it
doesn't
say,
matter.
Lion.
I'm not walking up to it and saying, here, kitty, kitty, kitty. No. No, I'm not dealing with nothing like that. Coyotes, nothing like that.
See, west of the 405. East of the 405. You don't get mountain lions. You get everything but the mountain lions
because
they don't cross the highway.
They don't want to cross the highway.
Yeah, but west of the 405, that's a real thing.
Yeah, you get all that.
Yeah.
It's fine, man. You're not, it's not. Look, again.
It's fine for you.
They know who's in the backyard. They know all those.
I'll tell you something else, Jay. I'll trade.
You know, animals are smart,
if you take the roaches away, I'll take every single animal in L.A. I had all that stuff Keith's talking about except the cougars. But no roaches.
Max is not like
roaches. I'll trade you. Max, you can give me tarantulas, rattlesnakes, everything. As long as you take the roaches, I'm good.
You guys have a roach problem in the building? What's going on?
I live in a 150-year-old converted vegetable factory.
Man,
guess
I
what?
I haven't had roaches since I was a kid, man.
Me neither until this building.
You have roaches and you grown making all this money.
It's a beautiful apartment. It's not infested, but they pass through. And they're big.
They pass through.
They're big, too.
But they pass through.
Usually on their backs when I see them, I would say on average once a week.
No, but
I'm with you, dead one on its back.
But I'm with you, Max. Yeah. That roaches are disgusting.
I hate them the most. Yeah.
Like, I'll see you next week, Max.
Here's a funny story.
I had them growing up,
Friday,
but not since then.
Here's a funny story before I get off the air.
Yeah.
Here comes another Keyshawn story.
No, I once was seeing a young lady back in high school, and she lived in an urban area, and there's roaches. And, you know, they got walls, they got pictures and stuff on it. I'm sitting on the couch.
Key, the little ones or the big ones?
It was big enough.
Yeah.
I didn't even want to sit on the couch.
Does the couch have plastic on it?
No, the couch didn't have it. It needed plastic, but, I didn't want to stand up. I didn't want to stand up.
Her grandma's house has plastic.
We know this.
I didn't want to stand up. I sat down. I'm like, yeah, I'll just go ahead and sit down. But I didn't lean back. I sat up. And so once
right on the edge of the couch.
We're right on the edge. Right on the edge of the couch.
Comfortable.
And so I'm talking to her. In TV, and a roach comes. It goes. It stops at the middle of the wall.
What?
I look, and I just look at her, keep talking, act like I ain't even see. She act like she didn't see it or anything. And the Joker kept going, stopped again. And the wall's all white, and the roach, you can see it. It's clear as day. I was just like, you know, myself, I was like, damn.
You didn't
nasty.
Say anything, though, did you?
No, but I... I mean, why would I say something? If you saw what was sitting next to me, you wouldn't say anything either. You try to figure out how to help her get it cleaned.
This is how where I am with it, okay? And it's only, as I said, like, I haven't seen one in a month, but then I might see one for like 3 days straight. When I walk into my apartment and turn on the lights and I'm the only one there, I talk to him. All right, I know you all are here.
All right, boys.
I know just where are you. Just tell, I hate it so much.
Wait till you go to the cereal and they're inside the box of cereal.
Oh, no.
Oh,
I was growing up, we had it like that.
That's
like
you,
roaches.
Yeah,
because
you
it's New York.
Never experienced that, though.
Not in my cereal.
Yeah. Cereal.
What?
I mean,
roaches
in
cereal
box.
Yates?
Yeah,
Yates,
man.
No.
You got to put your cereal in them little
in a,
plastic bags.
Ziploc.
Make sure
Ziploc
nothing.
Bags.
Or put a rubber band. Or Yates, you put a rubber, you roll it up and put a rubber band around it.
One time I went to the Berry Captain Crunch when I was a kid.
It was Berry Roachy.
Oh, man, I was so mad. Oh. The Roach Captain Crunch with the sour milk.
Different type of crunch.
You get
that's
the
milk. Oh.
No, I'm saying that's the thing. You get old milk and bad Captain Crunch. You done for the day.
You got protein in this cereal.
Yeah. Like, damn, I ain't got no milk.
You're
no
on the toilet all day.
No, you're not going to eat it.
We're back tomorrow morning. Keyshawn, Max, poof.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.